With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 449, Velvet Buzzsaw.
So can we talk about this for about 10 minutes and then we can talk about like who we want to cast as Batman?
No.
There hasn't been enough time between Batman for the conversation about who should play Batman to be radically different.
Yeah.
I am completely bored by the notion of talking about who should play Batman.
Right. We
just had this conversation like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, I don't.
It's the same people. Go look at that list.
Pretty much. There's like two new actors, and other than that,
no, I got nothing else.
Yeah.
Emma Stone.
Right.
I was going to say, that's the only way to be radically different would be.
Yeah,
we're not doing Batman, we're doing Batgirl.
No, make Batman a woman.
Yeah, you have your hot take article, why can't Batman be trans? Like, and then you're done. Like, that's, you know.
That's how we get clicks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, taking notes. Okay, continue on.
So before,
that's how we get subscribers on this thing. Okay.
Or hate mail.
Either way. Yeah. Hey, as long as they're listening.
Well, someone said that there's no bad press, right?
Sure.
Ask the governor of Virginia if that's true.
All right.
State right, Paul?
This isn't politics corner. All right, moving on.
I feel like that's not really politics.
I don't feel like that's
okay. The KKK
I know that we try not to talk about politics too much. I don't feel like it's a bold political stance to be like, perhaps blackface in a Klan costume wasn't the best idea.
No, that's fine.
It was 1984, not 1884.
Also, you shouldn't have to say that. There's no reason that anyone should even have to be saying that, so that's the problem
and yet,
right there.
Here is the governor of a major state having to say that.
It's like, I don't really see a problem with it.
Well, oh, I thought you were debating whether or not Virginia.
Oh, boy.
No, I thought you were debating whether or not Virginia was a major state.
Oh, I've been there, so I mean, I guess you could make that argument.
I need to make very certain that I take precise editing notes on this because I could end up chopping this up very wrong.
Yes, you could.
Like,
you will end careers.
Yeah.
Well, if any of us,
I mean, we're podcasters.
Yeah,
right, you know.
That's fair. Well, we should probably go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
I'm Paul.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes, Apple Podcasts.
Oh, boy. What's that?
Oh, no. iTunes. What? Talk about 1984. Hasn't been that forever.
I also saw we have 174 ratings on iTunes. That's awesome.
Yeah.
174 five-star average. So that's great. Thank you, guys.
Yes. In fact, while you're putting that out there, we have a new one.
Oh, no kidding.
And we're sure it's on a Peloton one, right?
I am positive. Okay. It's not a Peloton. What's the name of this podcast again?
Real Spoilers.
Real Spoilers.
You and your wife are so great on this podcast.
With two E's.
Yes, O'Keefe is with two E's. Yeah. Well, three, but O'Keefe. Not in a row.
We need to like differentiate, or no, someone else started a podcast, The Real Real Spoilers.
God. R-E-A-L.
Would it be a cartoon?
Yeah, with a monkey and a ghost and...
No, that would just be...
Again, we're back to the thing.
It's the real Ghostbusters that was the one that you think of as the real Ghostbusters.
Well, right.
Not the...
But we aren't...
They wouldn't have had a monkey.
But we aren't a monkey and a ghost, right. So they have to be the ones
with
the monkey.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Well, we all are pretty pale, so...
You don't know how I identify.
And Dan's like our ghost.
Well,
oh, zing. Oh, wow. Man.
Joe's been letting him fly fast and loose
lately. Shots fired, man. So we have a new review.
New Zoo review.
Yes, coming right at you. And this is from Noah's Thingy. I don't know that I want to know what that means.
I do.
And it's probably good that that Dan's not here for this.
Yeah.
And the headline is, "Then I heard real spoilers, now I'm a believer." So they work in a Monkees reference?
I did.
So that's
maybe
nice.
Maybe they're Zilch listeners.
That could be. Yeah. It says, "These guys are fun whether you're tuning in for Joe's wrestling rant."
Yeah!
I don't think anyone is doing that.
I think you're wrong because somebody just said it.
How many iTunes accounts does your dad have?
Trust me, he's not the one.
Tom's anecdotes from the world of music and concert promotions, Kevin's ever at the ready abacus, or Dan's video recoveries. You'll always have a laugh, learn a bit of trivia, and have a nice long ride into Tangentville. Great chemistry, funny stories, and the occasional bit of inside baseball. So it goes on a little bit, but it was very nice. Very nice.
Oh,
so
thank you so much.
So thank you.
I do like the suggestion that Dan needs to go back and record a video recovery for everyone that he's missed so far.
Maybe we could start a blog.
No, we should.
He could chime in from there.
Just do from there.
Yeah.
It's not like we have a Facebook page that could be a thing on.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I love the Dan's always at the ready video recovery.
Should be his Moroccan.
That's also, that. Yeah.
So thank you. And if you would like to leave a review, we would love to hear it. So
yeah, thanks guys. It helps. Yeah. I mean, Joe and I were just talking about this on the Patreon podcast that we were doing last week, which will go up, I think, tomorrow, but those reviews help us tremendously because when people are searching on iTunes, if they've never even heard of the podcast, haven't been referred by someone, and they see a large number of reviews, the 5 stars, everything, I mean, the more of those we get, the more likely they are to listen and share. Right. And so even if you think like, oh, these guys are doing all right, or oh, they have 5 stars, they don't need me, like the higher the number, the better. So yeah, if you haven't, we'd really appreciate the rating and the review. It's great.
And you can also help by joining the League of Show Sharers at facebook.com/realspoilers. And people who are kind enough to join this week: Brad Hyan, Griffin Fox Smith, Jason Weesey, Linnea Thunsell, Tom Kamisky, Chris Magic Man, Tammy Sherman Powers, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Chris Sanders, Julianne Jordan, Brent Smith, Travis T Witt.
Oh.
Excuse me, I forgot that. Well, we're very casual.
Now, but, is he in radio? Travis Witt?
No, he is not either.
Oh, well,
Ron Johnson, Chris James, Ralph Tribble, and Richard Lawson. So thank you, guys, in a non-gender specific form, for sharing the show. So there, that is all of that.
And aforementioned Patreon.
Well, you had mentioned it. You had snuck it in very organically. But if you want to find it, it's at patreon.com/realspoilers.
Oh, is that how you're supposed to do these things organically?
Yes.
And not then follow up on them?
It's like a live spot. Like, it's supposed to sound like content, but you're really pushing
Wasn't
something.
Even trying. But yeah. I wanted to plug that, since this is the major episode, I wanted to plug that Joe and I, we couldn't get Polar to be reviewed on this show. So the Mads Mikkelsen.
In retrospect.
Well, the Mads Mikkelsen, John Wick-esque film that is on Netflix that dropped a couple weeks ago. We are reviewing that, and the Patreon episode should already be out by the time this airs. So go check that out.
Awesome. So there's all of that. Velvet Buzzsaw.
And that's the review right
now.
Yeah,
a large sigh.
How
is this the guy that did Nightcrawler?
I have no idea.
Do I sound like Jerry Seinfeld?
Why?
What is the deal?
What's the deal with velvet buzzsaws? They're not velvet. There's not a saw.
And plus, it wouldn't be very effective if it were velvet.
Yeah. That's true.
Spin around a bunch of velvet. See what happens.
I was a huge fan of Nightcrawler.
Oh my god,
Nightcrawler was amazing.
That movie is great.
Love that movie.
And I think probably Jake Gyllenhaal's best performance.
Ooh, that movie should have been.
I think I like him in Prisoners.
An Oscar contender.
Yep.
Like just across the board.
Yeah. Yep.
Like
I
don't know why it didn't get the sort. I mean, it was well reviewed, but when it came time for awards, it was just forgotten.
When did it come out?
Like, a couple years ago.
No, I mean like time frame. Like in that year. Like was it?
I think what it comes down to is sometimes with the older
2014
Oscar voting. Okay.
But what was it? A January release? Was it a
What time of year?
Yeah.
That I don't remember.
Okay,
but I think sometimes it has to do with the Oscar voting crowd. There's certain movies that you feel like you just know. I mean, you can do your Oscar predictions pretty early when you know the lineup and get pretty close to what they're going to nominate. And I feel like Nightcrawler just kind of snuck under there. All the people, you know, film Twitter.
This was like
critics.
Drive though. Drive was in the same boat.
Yeah,
as the, you
people
know?
Love Nightcrawler, but when it came time for the Academy to recognize it, it's not there. And I just think that's the difference between sometimes the members nominating and
what I love about that is when there's Oscar buzz, like, well, there are two slots saved for these two movies. When did they come out? Christmas.
Yeah.
Today's July 4th.
Right. You haven't seen half the year's movies yet. You just know.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's, and a lot of people are very frustrated, not only because of that and people not getting recognition and other
movies.
Well,
there's also a bunch of movies that got nominated that had no business.
Well, that's exactly
being
what
nominated.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. And then that on top of the programming, they're cutting the Oscars from 4 hours down to 3 hours and not even announcing all the awards. Like, this isn't the Tonys. There aren't, you know, 100 different awards. Like, the Oscars are a pretty small number. They can, the point is that these people, some of these people have been working their entire lives in film and never received an Oscar. And now they're going to get it and they're going to announce it during commercials and you can read on Twitter if they won an Oscar. Like,
right.
That's a huge slap in the face to people that are part of this industry. And
I don't know. I feel
I get what you're saying, but I also get that people really don't. The average person doesn't care who the best editor was.
I feel like that one needs to be in there.
Well, what's the point of the show then?
Well, I mean, the point of the show, like anything on commercial television, is to generate ratings so you can create ad revenue.
Which is why I'll take the over on 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. Well, I mean, backlash.
I don't mean to be a dick, but I'm going to be a dick. We don't know. Those people don't deserve to be on television. That's not their constitutional right that when they finally win their award, it's announced on television.
I feel like the people that are your actors, actresses, directors, composers, editors.
And if you work in the film industry, then I don't know how to break it to you, but you should know by now that celebrities are what keeps you afloat.
Yeah.
You're getting paid to edit famous people.
I mean, I think that's why we have big crappy blockbusters that make hundreds of millions of dollars that don't deserve to. I think that kind of mentality, though, to say just because you're famous and you make a lot of money, you deserve it. Like, these are all the people behind the scenes. Let me finish. You wouldn't have your movies, these big blockbusters that are doing so well, without the people that you don't know their names. They're the ones that are making the movies. Those credits you see that go on for 3 minutes after a movie of people's names you've never heard of, they're the ones that are making that movie. Go have Tom Cruise or Ben Affleck or Bradley Cooper go out there by himself with a camera and make a movie and see how well it does.
I mean, Affleck can do it.
But. I mean, but it can't. This is the industry. These are the filmmakers. These are the people that are making the movies. And if there's 30 categories or whatever the number is, like, you deserve. I mean, they can sell commercials in that other hour. The ratings are not bad because it's long. The ratings are bad because the Oscars is a crap program and has been for years.
So here's...
I agree 100%.
But nobody is going to tune in. And that's all these people care about is just eyeballs on the product. Nobody's going to tune in for, I don't know, best sound editing.
Well, then you have the Golden Globes and the People's Choice Awards and the
I agree.
All of that stuff, the
oversaturation of award, quote unquote.
I'm saying if you want that, that's what those other award shows are for.
Oh, I see.
This is about the movie business and the people who make the movies. And okay. You have to look at Jennifer Garner for 90 seconds before she announces who won best cinematographer. I got no problem with that.
But I feel like that award...
Or best makeup, or
it's
whatever
it is.
It's
not a big deal. You make the program entertaining. People watch. It's an extra hour. It's been that way. And you're honoring people, again, that make this industry. They can come up with an extra hour of programming. Okay, So the reason the Oscars are 4 hours is because you have to have freaking Jimmy Kimmel walk through the Grauman's Chinese Theater with a bunch of tourists.
Right.
That's a stupid bit. That was not funny. That was boring. And then they're going to play some guy off the stage that's been waiting his whole life to get his Oscar, thanking his grandmother.
I agree.
It's BS, man. No, they need to make a good program and then they will have people watch it.
I also wish they would tell everybody who made documentary features or documentary short subjects, look, we're really counting on you for the controversial speech. Don't come to this award show unless you have a controversial speech ready to go, because those are the ones we want. And if I were the producer, I'd say, we're never playing this guy off.
Yeah, right.
just let him go.
Yeah.
But no, I think I don't disagree that the people who are putting in the, I'm not going to say hard, well, it is probably a harder job than memorizing lines. This is a non-actor person saying that. So, but the producers, the director of this of the Oscars, they want a 7.2. They want a massive number.
I just think if you want a mass appeal show,
you're going to put the stars on.
You're never going to get it spending 20 minutes on sound editing.
I agree.
You're just not.
You don't have to. All you have to do is announce it. That's all I'm saying. They're putting the announcement of awards in a commercial. You can have Jennifer Garner. You can have someone do a performance and then announce the award that goes, you know, that's related to it. I'm not saying you have to spend 20 minutes on sound editing. Just announce their awards on air. That's all I'm asking. And you can put entertaining filler in there.
I thought you were saying, like, the whole presentation of here are the nominees and here are, and now they come up and they give their speech.
Yeah.
Oh, well, when you say announcement, I hear just here's who won.
No, I mean, you can, because here's the nominees and here's the speech. I mean, I'm just saying you don't have to make like a whole bit around it, like the stupid things that they do, but you can make an entertaining program and give people their dues. You are making a lot of people angry. I mean, that are in the film industry. I mean, I'm talking about the people in these categories.
Oh, sure.
Members of the Academy are mad. People that are actually a part of it. Like, you're getting a big backlash on this. And
at the end of the day, and it's no different than the problem you've always had in Hollywood, is that you have competing interests. You have the artists versus
the corporation.
The suits, and the suits, at the end of the day, they need a show that's going to generate ratings.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you're ABC or whoever airs the Oscars, you don't give a crap.
Yeah.
You don't give a crap.
As long as there's eyeballs on the product.
You paid for the rights to the Oscars because it's supposed to be entertaining and it's supposed to draw interest. And if you want to spend, you know, the first hour of the show on these hyper technical categories, that's not what you're paying for. And you used to be able to get away with that because you only had three networks.
Right.
And you didn't have 15 other award shows. And also, the Oscars used to be about movies that were, I don't know, things people actually saw.
Yep.
Like most of these movies, the vast majority of even the movie going populace has not seen them.
I agree.
Well, then you got to do the super power movies as a different thing. I mean,
right. Which is what they were trying to accomplish, and they failed miserably at it.
Mucked it up.
Yeah, but it's like, it used to be that you would see big, the Hollywood studios would make really good movies that were also huge effing
hits.
That's
the slots that Black Panther and A Star Is Born have this year.
Right.
It's not like last year where nobody saw anything except La La Land, or 2 years ago. You know, Moonlight wins, and people go, that's a movie? I didn't know that was a movie.
Like, they're like, but La La Land, I saw that. It was amazing.
And they've watched it 18 times on cable since.
Right.
No one has watched Moonlight a second time.
No one. No.
Barry Jenkins is sitting through it.
Most people, when Moonlight won, were like, did they reboot the Bruce Willis show?
Yeah.
Like,
that's another snub, just on a related topic, though. If Beale Street Could Talk, I loved that movie. That's Barry Jenkins' follow-up, you know, his next movie after Moonlight. But
that was so bored.
That's a beautiful movie. And, I mean, the story, the cinematography, like, it's just gorgeous. And, I mean, it didn't even get a nomination, so a lot of people are mad about that.
I didn't care for it at all. I think I just don't like how that guy makes movies.
Yeah.
I didn't care for Moonlight.
I liked everything except the way he made the movie. I liked the people who were in it and all the rest. But just to go back to the ratings point, you know, ESPN pays an enormous amount of money for Monday Night Football. And every season, they have to put on either a Cardinals game or a 49ers game.
That's right. That's true.
You know? They get the sucky teams, and people don't watch as much as they normally do.
But
they still have to pay the full rights for it.
But at the same time, though, Monday Night Football is an institution. You know what I mean?
So, like, are the Oscars.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, I feel. I mean, they are.
The Oscars are an older institution than Monday Night Football.
That's true. But I mean, the Oscars wishes they could pull in the numbers. I guess we'll find out this year.
A lot of people are rooting against the Oscars with everything they've done this year, and they're hoping that they get lower ratings than ever with their new format, and it's a wake-up call. I mean, a lot of people in the film industry and community are actively rooting against it. So, I mean, I know it's the Oscars, and everyone's going to say, too big to fail. It's going to do well anyway, but we'll see.
I think it'll do worse, because every year it does worse, because every year it's less relevant.
Well, also, that's the thing is, like, there's... Like you said, there were four channels at one, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, what are we going to watch? And nobody would go up against the Oscars.
Yeah. And that's what
so they were just reruns.
They would steer clear of it.
But
like,
if you're a movie person, if you like movies, you're going to watch the Oscars.
I'm not watching them.
I've watched it in probably 15 years.
What I mean is that you're not going to get outside people to watch it that aren't already going to watch it. Like, what I mean is, when you go, new 3-hour format, you're grandma that doesn't watch the Oscars isn't gonna go, it's 3 hours, it's gonna be entertaining. What I mean is, people are gonna watch the Oscars, they're interested in award shows and Oscars. You're not gonna pull them in any differently. So
maybe it just doesn't need to be on network television anymore.
No,
maybe
get rid of it.
It's the second highest rated show of the year besides the Super Bowl.
Is it really?
Yes. You guys are treating it like it's a one-off recorded version of Rent. It's not.
Yeah.
Don't even start on Rent.
It's called the Super Bowl for women because that's who tunes in. Watch the commercials during the Oscars.
Sure.
They are the equivalent of the Super Bowl for men commercials.
Right.
It's huge. And by the way, if I were running the Oscars this year, Best Picture would be handed out by Colin Kaepernick. Just to piss everybody off.
You may as well just go for the... Go for the jugular and see what happens. I mean, I don't do award shows anyway. Like, I feel like I don't do the pageantry. I don't do all that garbage.
The reason I don't do award shows is the internet.
Yeah, what's the point?
If there's anything interesting that's going to happen,
I'll see it on YouTube the next day.
It'll be on YouTube the next day. Yeah. I don't need to sit through 3 hours, four hours of it to
But that's
to
the
see
problem
it.
With TV now. You're talking about the problem with every TV show.
Sure,
I'm
absolutely.
The same way. I don't watch live TV. I don't even DVR it. I stream it online.
The only live stuff I watch are Cardinals games and Blues games.
Why do you watch Cardinals games? The highlights will be online the next day.
Yeah, but I...
Yeah, just watch the last inning and you'll know what happens.
I guess to me that's to me it's different, like to watch a live sporting event, because... Anything can
happen. Kills me
you
about
have the
sports.
Suspense of the
of anything
outcome
can
hasn't
happen.
Been determined.
Anything can always happen, and the internet will have it the next day.
Yeah,
I know.
But I mean, like if you could, I mean, I remember watching when Maguire hit 62. Like I remember where I was. You know,
sure.
I didn't see on the internet, but granted, the internet wasn't.
But that it's
a
different.
Thing, but
it,
no,
that's
it is
the whole argument.
But
though,
I mean,
yeah.
I think if somebody breaks that record this year, it hypothetically 2019 baseball season, somebody breaks the record. What's going to happen on ESPN, Fox Sports, whatever, you know, whatever, CBS Sports, NBC, they're going to cut into everything to watch.
Not on my stuff because I'm not watching live.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But I mean, like if.
Yeah. And most of the people our age, I mean, they're not going to cut in on anything that we're watching.
Right.
Especially for baseball.
Well, but I mean, like baseball was dead then. In 96, baseball was dead.
I mean, they're not going to cut
it
into Hulu. They're not going to cut into Netflix.
No, that's true.
What I'm saying, not going to cut into Amazon Prime.
Or anything on DVR.
This is a completely different world we live in. No, and you're not wrong for wanting to watch this stuff live. We're not arguing that. I just mean most of the people don't watch TV this way. The way that Tom watches it is how most people watch it. Meaning you're going to see the highlights. You're going to DVR past stuff. It's like, so they're trying to cater to this audience that doesn't even exist anymore. And that's why they're changing stuff up and they're just scrambling because they don't know how to make money anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
all
that's probably absolutely
all you can
true.
Do is stream stuff. I mean, because that's
where
people are.
Their business model is crumbling.
Yeah, so you've got television now, and they're just like, how can we possibly do this? And so I get why they're screwed up, but they're just going to keep pissing people off because it's a lose-lose proposition no matter what they do.
Well, speaking of streaming, we should probably talk about Bell with Blitzaw.
Oh,
I thought that was the whole
thing. Yeah.
But we're done with that.
There's really not an hour even that you can talk about it, though, is the problem. So, I mean, and we're not doing a box office, so there's your tangents for the episode.
It's, again, we talked about Nightcrawler, fantastic movie. I don't know what happened here.
Well, like, so this is a very personal story for the director. And so I think it's interesting what he was trying to do. He just didn't execute it in an interesting way.
Right.
But I mean, I feel like, you know, so the director of this is
Tom Gilroy.
Dan Gilroy.
Is the brother of the other writer who did Michael Clayton and other movies. And so he has experience with art and writing and he did a lot of, I don't know if you, I guess not ghostwriting, but he punched up a lot of scripts over the years.
Script
over the past
doctor.
Yeah, over the past couple of, I just mean, I think he got credit. It wasn't ghost.
Oh,
it
gotcha.
wasn't Yeah. But anyway, but it's like, so he and so a lot of this is his experience with art and with creating art, and sometimes working on things and not getting credit, and sometimes working on things only to see them collapse, which is the Superman Lives thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the writer of Superman Lives, the failed Nicolas Cage, Tim Burton Superman movie.
Can we talk about that?
And so we are.
I love
so to. For an hour and a half, or I'm sorry, for a year and a half, he wrote this script and planned it. The budget was ballooning into, you know, astronomical.
I will say you really feel that year and a half while you're watching this movie.
You really do.
Yeah.
It's crazy that so Burton's coming off Batman.
Yeah.
And John Peters somehow snatches the rights and they're going to do Superman. The whole story's crazy. They're going to do the death. He's going to come back. It's Nicolas Cage. It's Christopher Walken as Brainiac. Go find the doc. John Schnepp,
that guy
rest
died.
In peace.
Died recently. Like
did this amazing, I feel like that thing has to be 6 hours.
Oh.
I'm not even like with all the bonus features.
Oh, okay.
I think it's
a couple hours.
No, like everything that is on that Blu-ray.
Right. They give you the stuff he didn't.
They talked to Tim Burton about it. They talked to Kevin Smith, who was the initial.
They got Burton to talk about it, which is like.
Who was like Kevin Smith is the initial writer. They kind of talked to Nicolas Cage briefly a little bit.
Yeah. I think kind of is the only way you can talk to
Nicolas
Cage.
Yeah. Well, he won't talk about it.
He was at a Starbucks and they're like, hey, Nick, Superman.
Like, it's insane how close they were to getting that done. And Bryan Singer, who's a scumbag. He's a piece of garbage that shouldn't get any recognition ever again.
Oh, you mean the guy that is going to make $40 million from Bryan Singer's Bohemian Rhapsody?
He's such a disgusting
person. And
is going
to get $10 million up front for Red Sonja?
Yeah.
Before any back-end deals?
I get the money from Bohemian Rhapsody. Like, you can't say you're a dirtbag, so we're not going to pay you.
Right.
Like,
there's a contract.
It sucks, but I get it. But the Red Sonja thing I don't
insane.
Get. Yeah.
No, so, I think the main thing behind the money and the frustration is the fact that people support him and his project so much that enable him to make $40 million.
Right. Do you think, in Bohemian Rhapsody's defense, they're not seeing that because of him.
Right.
They're seeing that because it's Queen.
Oh yeah. The mainstream audience isn't.
Yeah.
But they hired Bryan Singer, who's already known to be a scumbag.
Right.
And so I mean. They fired him off the project in the last couple weeks. That's how bad this guy is to work with.
Yeah.
And that's not even his crazy personal stuff. That's just him working with him, you know?
Right, right.
Back to my point, he's carrying
around that. The big deal is he slams that movie. He's like, this is what, you know, when he's making Superman Returns, which was terrible, by the way, he's carrying around that picture of Nick Cage in this awful Superman suit that's not finished. Like awful hair extent. It's a bad picture. But while you're watching this doc, they show you two different pictures. And John Schnepp is like, this is what he looked like. And it's like, oh.
They took the tabloid picture.
But so he like when people are kind of questioning Bryan Singer, he's like, you almost did this.
Right.
They're just like, oh, okay.
I mean, that's
right. But I mean, when you see these pictures of Nick Cage in a Batman 89 style Superman suit, you're just like, that would have worked.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of, and like when Nick Cage explains, he's like, the reason he's wearing like a Mickey Mouse shirt is because he can't figure out how to fit in. So he's just doing things that are kind of quirky and he's weird. Or like he's sitting at his desk and he just laughs randomly because he heard a joke 20 miles away that made him laugh. And it's just like, like that could have worked.
Yeah.
Like in 1997, that would have worked. But,
So this guy wrote the script and worked on it for a year and a half, and the whole thing crumbled. I mean, it was going up to $140 million budget.
And it crumbled like the day before it was supposed to start.
Because Warner Brothers had a series of flops, and so they were losing money left and right, and this was supposed to have this astronomical budget, which, I mean, that was so unheard of even at that time, before Waterworld and all that.
Right.
And so they just couldn't make it, and so it gets scrapped. And so this guy realized that, you know, you spend all this time and you work on art that can easily just crumble and be non-existent. And so this guy is telling a very personal story through these characters and everything, but the way he does it, I mean, which is what we're going to get into with the story, the characters, and the, you know, it doesn't work, but I appreciate knowing the background of where it's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, he's got an interesting story. There's no doubt about that. But the execution, like you said,
I think this is a Twilight Zone episode.
It is a lower tier Twilight Zone episode.
No, it's a Steven Spielberg's Amazing Story.
Right.
Twilight Zone. It's not up to that quality.
No,
not even an Outer Limits.
But if you would have cut this into
like
30 minutes.
Tales from the Dark Side.
I don't mean this hour
and a half product. I mean, if you would have cut this or done it differently into a 30-minute story, I think this is a fine enough Twilight Zone. I mean, I've been rewatching Twilight Zone, and if this were cut into a 30-minute product, I think it would be just as good, if not better, than a lot of the stuff I've seen on the Twilight Zone.
Let me ask you this. Is it a Black Mirror?
It's more of a Black Mirror.
No,
it's not technology.
There's no technology.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that's true.
So, yeah.
I guess if he had digitally painted them, right, it would have been
different. And it's not as tight as a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
but
fair.
But maybe at 45 minutes, an hour, it could have been, which is what those are.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. I think there's a story in there, and there's some interesting, like, weird Twilight...
I think his big mistake, honestly, was, and I don't know how I would have fixed it or what else I would have done, but it was setting it in the world of art, because it's
a very,
like,
niche audience.
Not only that, but it's like, what? Are you telling me that people in the art world are pretentious and self-involved? Hang on, let me clutch my pearls.
I mean,
like,
I think
it just felt like a very just rudimentary insight.
Like, you can't connect with these people because they're the elite
And not only could I not connect with him, but I mean, it just didn't feel like it was some groundbreaking satire or revelation about this world. This world looked to be exactly what I, as an outsider, always would have thought this world would
exactly,
be.
Exactly.
And what I've seen it be in other movies. I mean, I've seen Columbo episodes that treat the art world like this.
Yep. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, too, because when I got to the end of this movie, I'm like, so you're telling me, I mean, this was the obvious. You're telling me nothing I didn't know before.
Right.
And your moral of your story is not to put such a high value on art, which should be enjoyed by everyone, or what, you know, whatever the moral. It's like, so you've just told a very basic story through all this where I'm like, yeah, I know that. This didn't blow my mind.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not near as profound as it
exactly.
thinks it is.
So this thing just won at got an award at Sundance this year.
Well, it premiered.
And then all of a sudden Netflix is like, we'll take it.
No, it's a Netflix movie. They premiere their stuff.
Okay,
And then distributors could come in and bid on it.
Okay,
and pick it up.
Netflix saw this and was like, throw it on the network now.
I mean, they knew this was gonna be on Netflix before Sundance.
Here's also, I think, kind of the problem with Netflix is that you knew before you hit play, if you know anything about how the industry works, that this couldn't be that good.
It's on Netflix.
No, not because it's on Netflix. I think Netflix has made some great stuff.
Yeah.
But if Netflix thought they had a, because this is clearly supposed to be an art house movie, right?
Sure.
This isn't Bright, right? Like this, you know, like
Polar.
This isn't trying to be like just a mass appeal action movie or something. Like this is clearly designed to be like an art house awards bait kind of a film.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're just wrapping up award season and they didn't include it.
Oh, sure.
In the
product. You're not going to remember this a year from now.
They didn't push it like Roma. They didn't push it like Ballad of Buster Scruggs. So clearly Netflix knew this isn't up to snuff.
Right.
So there's no need to include it with our good movies.
Our upper tier movies.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it just gets released. And so the fact that Netflix didn't put any effort behind it was to me a clear indication that they knew that it wasn't good.
Yeah,
I like Jake Gyllenhaal's crazy art critic performance.
That dude is on the level of Joaquin Phoenix. Like I think he's a fantastic actor. Yeah. I thought I
liked some of the stuff he was doing. I'm not saying the movie was great. I'm not saying that the script he was given, but like sometimes I'm laughing at his performance. I'm like, oh, it just he's
there
good.
There were moments I liked.
I disagree. I think it was so over the top. So he said, well, what would an art critic be like? What would that art critic be like times six?
I'm honestly,
that's what I'm going to do.
I'm honestly surprised this isn't getting more backlash about the flip-flop.
What's the flip-flop?
He's gay the entire movie, and then he meets this...
I think he was bisexual.
He's an artist, so they're, you know...
Well, he's an art critic.
It's fluid.
Well, but he's...
Most art critics
he's in
are
the art,
failed artists.
Yes, he's in the art industry, so that obviously shows that he's progressive, and he's neutral. He can go either way. But yeah, I mean, he never said he was gay the whole movie. It's he had a male partner.
You're saying that in the art world, you're at minimum bi-curious? At minimum?
I'm putting sarcastic quotes around my statement, but it's like, but no, it's
I don't
like,
know, I guess I felt like
in the very beginning he had a male partner.
I don't feel like it was Chasing Amy.
No,
where
never
she was very declared a lesbian.
Isn't
and then
that weird,
he
though,
dated
that,
this woman before, that's why
no,
they, yes.
they hooked up once.
Okay, but then
well,
you just said he was
a form of dating.
Okay,
but you just said he was gay the whole time, but
no,
we know he hooked
no,
up
well,
with
I mean,
her.
Just because you hook up with a woman doesn't mean you're not gay.
Okay, so just because
Thank
you're with a man doesn't mean you're gay.
Well, but I mean, when you're living with a man and you're...
I think, honestly, your confusion, your disconnect is that you don't see much representation of bisexual people
on film.
I guess
that's probably true.
And so when you see someone with someone of the same sex, you just assume that they're gay.
Right.
Because that's historically what you see in film.
But yeah, I guess
that's how bisexual works.
I know how it works.
But you know, I'm just saying that's how it works. Though.
I think Kevin needs to clear his browser history. No, but seriously though, you just don't see it in film.
That's true.
When you see a character, when you see a male character with a man, then you just go, they're gay.
Right.
You don't even entertain the notion.
Right.
But I also think, Joe, that part of your problem with this comes from Jake Gyllenhaal's performance. He does it as kind of a mincing gay character.
Yeah,
right. A stereotype.
The entire time.
I never got that for a second. I didn't get him as flamboyant as much as he was a pretentious art snob. I never got him Did you think he was like flamboyant?
Not flamboyant.
The way he walked and held his hands and the looks he gave people. I think that was he went home and studied. You know, what do gay men look like when they're walking down South Beach? I'm going to do that.
I mean, but then what do bisexual men look like compared to gay men? I mean, he still is in that zone, you know? I mean, so and he's dating, he's with another man. So, I mean, just because he played it that way, still I don't think is gay versus bisexual. So I just think this is an invalid argument because it's not.
I don't know. I guess I felt like he was playing it a little bit effeminate, and then when he gets drunk and hooks up with the girl, all of a sudden, and then he has like a crisis of faith. Oh, he does. That's what he says. He says that later when he sees her again. And then he breaks up with the dude, yeah, and starts dating the girl.
The crisis is because he's in a relationship, not because she's a woman and he's with only
a crisis was the script.
Yeah, that's also true. He never says that it's because he's in a relationship.
Does he say it's because he's gay?
No, but okay, what I'm saying. But I mean, like, what at that point, what are you supposed to infer, that it's because he's in a relationship or because he's with a man?
I think that's baggage you bring to the equation.
It could.
I will say that I had that same moment of having to like self-correct in my head,
right,
of like, oh, okay, I guess he's bi. When it went on to not be a plot point.
Yeah, they completely disregarded.
I like that.
I love that it's
mainstream enough.
It's not my complaint about the film.
To. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh no, that's not my complaint.
But
about
I did
this
have
movie
a moment
all.
Because we don't see it in film.
I did the same thing too. Because I'm like, oh,
or when you do see someone who's bisexual in film, it's almost always
a woman,
yeah, and it's done to titillate.
And I also like, it's interesting that Chasing Amy is still around. You know what I mean? Like that's like the fact that. And in 1994, right? 94?
Ish.
97?
No, 94 is Mallrats.
94 is Mallrats. 97.
I don't think it's dumb that it's around at all, because I know what you're saying. The whole point of that movie was he was wrong for what he was trying to do.
But
the movie
she does it. You know what I mean? Like, she goes along with it in that movie.
But not in the end. I mean, she does start falling for him, and so maybe she does have part of, maybe she is a little bisexual, but in the end you realize that that he is a fool for what he's doing. He's being stupid. You know what I mean? The movie isn't about like, oh, he was so great and she's wrong or something. Like, yeah, it holds up because of,
but the character that is stupid is Banky. Like, any argument that comes out of Banky's mouth is like he says is immediately negated because he's the idiot of the movie, making his argument invalid.
Sure.
You're following Holden, who is your quote unquote hero, who is, I feel like he is pursuing her and she ends up falling, and they have a relationship that lasts a while, and then it ends because she realizes, oh no, I am gay, and ends the relationship.
But what's wrong with that?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying in 2019,
the idea that he could sway a lesbian into the world of straightness,
even if it is,
but
Ben
it
Affleck.
Took heat for that at the time.
Did it?
It did.
So I wasn't old enough. I mean, I caught that.
Yeah, and it was
later.
97. But no, I remember it taking heat at the time that the gay community was like, that's not how it works.
Okay,
like, you know. So no, it definitely took heat.
Yeah.
For that.
All right. That's which is fair.
Yeah.
So anyway, this movie.
Oh yeah, this movie.
But let me just add again. My problem with it is not whether he's gay or bisexual.
Sure, no.
It's the Jake Gyllenhaal performance of a guy who's stereotypical.
Right.
I don't care what the stereotype is. It's a stereotype that he's playing throughout this movie, and so over the top. It just took me out of the movie.
Yeah, it's.
I liked it, but that's just opinion.
I enjoy it. Like, I think he is charismatic enough where I was like, okay, I prefer it when he's on screen. But overall, it is not a great performance.
It ain't Nightcrawler.
No, it's definitely not Nightcrawler. Yeah. It's not Prisoners. It's not. I mean, like, it's not Everest. Well, no, not Everest. Was it Everest? What was the one that we saw where he's
He's in one of those.
Yeah,
I think it's Everest.
All right.
Yeah, he was so good. I mean, he was the mountain.
Yeah,
like, that's how good he was. Yeah. Like, he just get lost.
But
in
I mean, like, yeah. So he's a pretentious art critic. He's like I'm assuming he's like the end all be all art critic.
Yeah,
that can make or break.
Totally, yes,
whomever.
Was Renee Russo cryogenically frozen? Because like
that's just what her face.
I mean, like 20 years ago, she looked like that, and I haven't seen her that much recently.
She was a Nightcrawler.
Okay, yeah, that's true. But it's like, but I'm just like, oh my gosh, I saw her in this, and I'm like, she hasn't aged a day. I feel like they just unfreeze her when it's time for a movie because she doesn't age.
Renee, we need you for this one. Well,
yeah,
that's how much time we
wait,
got.
Wait, it's not we need you for this one.
You need to do this one.
He rolls over in bed and says to his wife,
"Oh,
yeah. Dan Gilroy and Renee Russo are married."
Oh, I did not
They're
know
married.
That.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair.
Hey, you doing anything today?
No. Well, guess what? You've been cast as the female lead in my movie.
Not just coincidence. She's been in his last two movies. Right. Yes, they're married.
Okay, that's fair. So yeah, so we've got Rene Russo, who is in charge of this one gallery. We've got
that's brilliant though. If you get divorced, you get half of their money.
That's right,
right. So you get them at a discount.
Yeah,
it's a win-win.
You have Toni Collette coming off of Hereditary, who should have been nominated but wasn't, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got John Malkovich, who I don't know why
Malkovich,
whatever. I don't know why he's in this movie, because he's in it for about
it's odd.
5 minutes.
He's a cameo.
Yeah.
They got him for a day.
But like the cameo would make sense if he was just like in the art gallery. But they make it a point that this young upstart art gallery owner is stealing him away from Rene Russo.
Art agent.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Is stealing him away from Rene Russo. And they go into like great detail about how he doesn't have a career anymore because he stopped drinking, and how this kid is screwed because this once great, wonderful artist is now making art with basketballs. So like there's a plot line with Malkovich
that never really
goes anywhere
and is more interesting than the rest of the film
of like the struggling artist.
I thought the interesting part of the film for me was just that with the Gyllenhaal character, and in terms of how his reviews were so important that it would basically set the prices,
right,
and people trying to exploit that. To me, that was the interesting part
of
the film.
I agree. Like seeing these other art dealers who are just like, hey, we've got this new thing here, are you going to review it? And he's just like, dude, no.
And that's a tacit admission that it's really not about the quality of the art. This guy's been dubbed a kingmaker.
So like that's the story that I did find interesting.
Right.
Where it's not like, again, not an art guy. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Neither do I.
So like this movie's saying nobody gets it.
Right.
They're just jerking each other off to make the prices of their...
Right. They've decided this... They've decided there's this group of people that know what they're talking about, and Gyllenhaal represents that group.
They must be the greatest con artists ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Like, no, that's good. Oh, it's good. Yeah, it's gotta be good.
I mean, it's like wine.
Yes,
tasting
exactly
the same way, you know, like,
oh really,
like
exactly.
If you see all these studies all the time where if they take these people and they just put
$2 chuck next to the $100 bottle,
or
seriously,
have them taste two different samples of $2 chuck of the same crap, and they'll tell them something different, they'll think it's something different, like it's you know.
But so that's the genius part of this whole thing that we find out the spoiler way down the road is that Gyllenhaal's character's ex-boyfriend, the guy that he broke up with, he had been feeding Rene Russo's character information about what art he liked. And so she would buy it up real quick before he wrote his review and the prices would skyrocket. So
I thought that was a great...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like the conspiracy thing.
Hey, that's a movie.
Right. Yeah. Like that's way more than... So they find this artist.
There's
D's?
Sure.
Yeah,
D's nuts. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's all I could think of. I was like, so
you want the end of the movie to just end with a D's nuts joke?
Like, well, especially when it was like D's and he's crazy. So
right.
D's nuts.
Yeah. Huh. So yeah. So the second female lead of this movie,
Zawe Ashton.
Wow.
Have we ever seen her in anything before?
I'm not familiar with her.
Not at all. She's very good though. I liked her. I didn't have a problem with her at all.
Why don't they just call her Zoe Saldana Jr.?
Because that might be racist.
Is Zoe Saldana British?
Yes,
that's why.
Oh, all right. So she kind of stumbles. She's
Jennifer Beals Jr. Oh, same thing.
Yeah. Damn.
She's all down on her luck. She's not very good at her job, apparently. She shows up late, all this other stuff. She gets taken off the front desk and replaced with the girl from Stranger Things. And she stumbles upon this dead dude in her building and finds all this art. And there's something wonky about the art. Anytime somebody looks at it, they become obsessed with it. And at this point, Jake Gyllenhaal and her are together. And she shows this art to Jake Gyllenhaal. And he's just like, this is it. Like, this is you're going to make so much money off of this.
Doesn't she bring it to Rene Russo first,
no,
and then they bring him into the gallery to see it, and he's like, I want a piece.
No, they're
all
at lunch, and she's like, I have something I want to show you.
Oh,
he was like, okay, and he opens it up, and it's just like...
Yeah. So this guy that died, apparently, I mean, in the art world, like his stuff is next level brilliant art.
Nobody's seen it.
And she has hundreds of pieces.
Okay, now I have to stop you right there. because we've all seen the movie, and I want to know, how do we know that that guy made this art?
We don't. Well, I mean, I guess that he's got easels. He's in stuff like set
so
up.
What?
Yeah,
but
that's
half
true.
The people in this movie have easels.
I mean, but I
but
guess.
Isn't it possible that he died for the same reason the other people died?
Totally possible.
Oh, that's funny to. Wow, big picture. I didn't think about it that way.
That's totally, that'd be a better movie. You
wow.
should make that.
Maybe they did, though. I don't know. That's a very interesting...
That he didn't create it. He was basically
trying to exploit it.
Or protect people from
but
it.
But I guess they go... I mean, I guess that guy...
Because he says...
They know his name, and then they go investigate his childhood, and it matches the name of the old guy, like his tortured childhood that inspired all this art and stuff.
Well, they assume it inspired the art.
Yeah.
You don't know.
He could just be a tortured artist who... Either way, there are three ways. One, he created it. Two, he saw somebody else's work, stole it, or acquired it somehow, and is now trying to exploit it, which is why he ends up dead. Or three, okay. He's just trying to hide it so that nobody dies from seeing it. Any three of those is possible.
I
think
go with one or three.
This is like another bisexual subplot.
Yes.
There's three possibilities.
Right. That's an interesting... No, I mean, that's really interesting. I think we're thinking way too deeply into it, but
But I'm the one who thinks he looks like an older Zoe Saldana.
I saved it.
He does.
I brought it back around.
Because you're not judging if someone looks like Zoe Saldana. It doesn't matter.
Everybody looks like Zoe Saldana.
Oh, I would love to live in the world you live in.
So they bring it in, you know... At this point, all of our characters are starting to change. So Josephine, I think, was the...
Mm-hmm. Josephina?
Josephina. She was kind of like this sweet, nice girl. And as this movie progresses, she's getting worse and worse.
Well, money and power
Money
corrupts.
And power will...
This,
yes.
This is our valuable
life.
So
she's going to sell
everything.
All the art in Rene Russo's gallery. Rene Russo's going to take a cut, of course, for marketing it and everything. And she basically blackmails her because she's like, either you'll let me sell it or people are going to find out that you...
So
she works for her, so like anything she would have discovered...
Like
would have fallen under her, like it would automatically fall to her.
But if she doesn't let her sell it, then she's like, well, then people are going to find out you took this from a dead guy. And, you know, so she's basically forced to sell it there, but she's going to become, she becomes super wealthy because they're selling this art to the elite art buyers. And
And then people start dying. We've got the weird, maintenance guy.
So
in Rene Russo's gallery.
For supply and demand. So Rene Russo wants to limit. It's just like diamonds. It's the supply and demand. So if you think that this Deese only has, we only know of 10 of his artwork, so only 10 of you rich multimillionaire billionaires can buy it, drive up the price. Then once they buy it, we've discovered five more Deese paintings.
It's like Tupac albums.
It is. That's the story that I find interesting.
Yeah.
Just like the art world working the big con.
The economics of the industry and what drive, like that to me was interesting.
I agree.
But the whole like turning into a horror movie.
Yeah. But I liked the idea once I found it. I'm like, oh, this is a low key horror movie. Like I didn't think it was going to get into this, but it just didn't become really good.
Right.
But I'm like, oh, low key horror movie. Like,
well, I mean, and Nightcrawler, I kind of consider a horror movie. Like he is kind of a serial killer. Like, that's kind of what he does as that movie progresses.
Yeah, that's true. I always thought of, definitely a thriller.
Thriller,
but
yeah.
It gets into that territory.
It walks that very thin line of thriller horror movie.
But that guy has to transfer all the remaining Deese stuff that they're hiding, and it basically kind of wills its way to killing him and destroying the stuff. Like, he drops a cigarette ash that lights everything on fire, but the paintings are, like, looking at him. And
it was weird. Yeah. And then the monkeys in the painting, like... I
thought that was cool.
I think some of the visuals are very good.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I like paintings move and things like that.
In a different movie, I mean, I like the execution of that stuff. It just felt out of place, I guess.
The score was what threw me off completely.
Really?
Like, the score is super weird. It's very...
Was it as weird as the movie we saw last week?
It was on the level
Serenity.
Oh my god.
So we lose him, and then we lose
people just keep dying, and the assistant finds every single body.
When spoilers, when they killed Jake Gyllenhaal, and she's like, oh, come on. Like, I was like, that was I like that ending part where she's like, are you kidding me right
now?
Coco,
was that her?
Yes.
It was the sister from Stranger Things is what I can remember her as. Yeah.
She called her Rococo.
Rococo. And she was just like, "It's you know what? Forget it."
So she finds him, and then...
Well, she finds... she does not find...
She doesn't find the assistant.
They never find the assistant. He's gone.
He's sucked into the picture.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, she finds the guy that gets hung, the competing art gallery.
Right.
Yeah,
and they think it's art.
Right.
And people.
Well, they do that with Toni Collette as well.
Yeah.
That's pretty gnarly.
That was that.
With the kids walking in,
the kids
and
walking in the blood, was
that's
good.
A good.
Yeah.
That was,
it was
a good
gag.
I mean,
yeah,
that was legit.
I enjoyed that.
The
one.
Horror of that when she's describing it and you see the kids
like just
going,
stepping
and
around
again,
the blood.
And this is another commentary. Ooh, pretentious art snobs. Oh, it's so meaningful. It's a dead freaking body laying in a pool of blood. Oh, how artistic.
That scene with the young art dealer and John Malkovich, where like Malkovich has like the bag of trash in the middle, and the guy's like, he stoops down, he's like, oh, this is stupendous.
Right?
And Malkovich is just like, it's a bag of trash.
No,
and
he doesn't.
Like,
he says,
oh, he's
that's
like,
not art.
It's not art. And he just walks, he's like, oh.
But you know what? I thought to myself then, that young guy is thinking to himself, it's not finished. It's going to be
it's
art.
But he doesn't know it yet. Right. Yeah, right.
It's a definite comment. This movie is a definite commentary on
he's
the
like,
art
that's not
world.
Art, it's this film.
But this, exactly. This is a world where they do performance pieces like a woman lying in a bed in a window. Yeah. That's
right.
Art.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Really? That's my house now.
Oh, speaking of that art installment, which ended up being the whales, but he's hearing all his critiques and he's freaking out and everything.
Oh,
I really
liked
that scene,
that
too.
I liked that one, and I liked...
That his performance in that, I'm
I
like,
thought,
he's freaking
I thought
out.
The hobo man scene
was good.
At the end
when he,
I enjoyed that. Like, that was very,
creepy.
Very creepy.
Yeah, yeah. There's some good stuff in this, and because we know this guy can make a movie.
Oh, yeah.
There's
some flashes of it,
but
this
script just overall doesn't.
No.
Didn't work for me.
So, yeah. So now we're losing all of our characters. Toni Collette gets her arm cut off in a pretty gruesome.
That's a cool. I like the whole idea.
I thought that looked so fake when she pulls her arm out.
I was fine with it. You know, I've seen it.
Lots of blood.
I've seen worse.
Yeah.
That's the same arm cut off bloody thing from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
And that's
great. I didn't think it was that bad.
Really bad.
I thought like the blood squirting out
of all the different
ports
and everything.
I thought that was fun. That was kind of cool. And then we lose Jake Gyllenhaal. Surprisingly enough, he gets murdered by
the
hobo man. And I thought that scene,
creepy.
And honestly, when he gets his neck snapped, and I was
up
just like,
on him and like,
oh man, we're going to, all right, well now what do we do? Like, we just lost the main character of this movie.
Who was horror movies have never done that before.
Who was barely a main character.
Yes, yeah. And you know, it's funny. I was just going to ask, if the Jake Gyllenhaal character is not in this movie at all, couldn't we make essentially the same movie?
Yeah. I think you need him.
Why?
If that character wasn't played by Jake Gyllenhaal, would you think it was the star of the film?
No.
No.
No,
probably not.
I would not.
Not unless it was Joaquin
Phoenix.
Can
still have all the other pretentious people who, you know, that art is fantastic. You could have all of that without him being the guy who gives it the official imprimatur.
But I think the critic sets up the whole premise of the economics, though. I mean, his story about how she sets the prices in the gallery because of his reviews and him being that like vessel for the snobby artistic critic who what he says matters, but really should it or does it? I mean, that being part of the commentary. I mean, I feel like that character is important to the overall story.
Okay.
And Jake Gyllenhaal definitely elevates it because I think he does do a good job with material that is below, you know, what it could have been.
How old is he? How old? Do we know how old he is?
I'm going to say 42.
I'm going to say he's 37.
I bet he's around 40. I think that sounds right. That's a good average.
Okay.
So
I'm just wondering, like, he's
38.
Okay.
There you go.
Like, he's the guy I would pick for Batman.
Yeah.
In the Batman 2027.
The only thing I think we're going to have a problem with that, just a real quick Batman corner, is that going from Ben Affleck Batman to someone like Jake Gyllenhaal, who even, I mean, he's in great shape in this movie, six pack, whatever.
He's too old.
He rides a Peloton.
Hey!
Well, there you go.
There was a line in the movie about Peloton.
There was a line. Yeah, that's right.
I didn't catch it.
Yeah,
that's
when
funny.
He tells her about it, he's been working out. He's like, I've been doing lots of
Peloton.
Lots of Pilates and Peloton.
Yeah. Oh, nice. They've turned it into a verb now.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a verb. He just said, I've been.
Oh,
I guess
okay.
I forget.
I've
how
been
he,
doing Peloton. I don't know.
Did, I guess because it was the other word in front of it. Like
So he's like, that's interesting that now it's become famous enough that people in movies are like, we need this. You know, what are these people that are into fitness do? They do Peloton.
Right. What used to be Pilates is now Peloton.
Wow.
Yeah.
But now he's new. It's not going to happen. He's too old.
Oh.
Like they want like a 25 to 35.
Oh, right. But he doesn't want an unknown.
Okay. It won't be Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. No, but they're saying. Matt Reeves wants someone very famous for the role. Well, A-list.
Let's find what happens. We'll find out what happens actually soon because this movie starts filming in November.
should probably know who the Batman is soon.
So anyway, we're losing all of our characters. It comes down to Josephine and Rene Russo. And I did actually, this is very Twilight Zone-y, where they're just they're getting killed by these pieces of art. Turns out that the guy,
like, and the interest is going up as people die. Remember, right.
That's what I didn't understand. Is like there's it down the stretch of this movie. There's the he's going to expose it, and she's like, and it's like you can't expose this because it will ruin the value of this art. And I'm like, how?
Right.
It would only make it more popular. Like it would not. People wouldn't believe the story, but this. The art is cursed or drives you mad would just make it more well-known mainstream.
I'll
and
buy
valuable.
It. It won't drive me mad.
Right. Yeah.
That sounds like maybe and more of a plot hole than they anticipated, because I think what they were trying to say was Gyllenhaal, what he says. I mean, he's the chief critic. He is who sets the price. I mean, if he says this is bad for whatever weird story or reason, but you're right, because it, the way that the world works, it would right. not have that effect.
Well, like, also, because his story wasn't going to be this. Like, if he really wanted to destroy the art, he should have just said, this isn't good.
Right.
This is bad art.
Right.
And then that would have
driven
the price.
But not after everything he said. He can't go back. And then
to say, like, oh, it's haunted, it's cursed. That only makes it more valuable.
Exactly.
I couldn't remember the exact story. Is that the story he published, just that it was haunted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does he come to that conclusion?
He talks to that gal.
Well, that it's making him see things. And
he talks to the gal who's like the, I don't know what you call, like the studying of the paint. And she's it uses blood. And Gyllenhaal's like, that's weird.
That's right, because that's supposed to be, it includes... Yeah, he included blood in the paint. And I'm like, well, if that's the case, then the Marvel Kiss comic should drive everybody mad.
Well, it did. For a minute.
You know, there are not a lot of movies with a forensic paint artist.
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
Scientist.
Right.
Yeah.
Then we lose Josephine. And I like the way we lose her. Like,
that's
I thought
a cool
that was,
effect, isn't it?
It was a cool
those
effect
visuals
of like
the paintings
paint
dripping
coming down. And then
the reveal of her.
That
and
was
the
bad.
Was like,
no,
oh.
That was very
that
stupid.
Was very,
but
because we don't get the reveals on anybody else.
Right.
You know, so like we don't.
Yeah, where's the artist guy? He just disappears.
No idea. You know, and we know what happened to Gyllenhaal. Yeah. We know
her
what happened to Tony.
Spray paint was
Collette.
Dumb, but man, that colors and everything. Yeah. I love the visuals.
And then
it looked like something from Annihilation.
It did.
Very vibrant. Yeah,
I agree.
Some great visuals in that.
And then we lose Rene Russo, I guess,
with the final moment. So she's had this weird off-center velvet buzzsaw tattoo because
that was her art. World name, I think.
Well,
no,
she was
in a band.
Oh, it was
Velvet
the band
Buzzsaw.
Name. I thought it was her name.
No,
I gotta tell you,
she was an art.
That's a cool band name.
That's a cool thing.
I dig that. But, like for a little indie rock band.
But they've been showing us a buzzsaw in the back of her neck every, you know, throughout the movie the whole time. And then she destroys all of the art that's in her house.
She has it removed.
I thought it was to be, it's true. I guess I think that she was supposed to have it destroyed and they did the same thing that the girl did in the beginning. Like, yes, we will take it all and destroy it. And they just toss it in the trash can, right?
Yeah.
And so now other people can find
The thing that guy finds was the stuff from the truck.
That's from the truck.
Yeah.
So maybe hers was destroyed.
Okay. But the stuff that the guy at the very end has.
Oh, okay.
It was the stuff.
Well,
from
then
the
I
truck.
Liked my version
no,
better.
No, the stuff in the truck all went up in flames at the gas station.
How would that have survived?
He had unloaded some of it.
Yeah, he had taken some of it out. And like if you look at the box that the guy is selling out of, it's the box from the truck.
See, and I would argue that artwork that the guy's selling on the street wouldn't damage those people.
Why?
Because they bought it because they
for
really
$5.
Because they
like
bucks.
The way
no,
it looks.
Absolutely.
They bought it out of a sense of purity. They liked it and they bought it. It wasn't.
There was no
up,
greed or anything.
It wasn't caught up in the economics and the machinations of the art world. They walked by a painting and said, "I enjoy that. How much? I'll buy it.
$5."
Like
$5. I was like, "Okay."
No, but see, I think to your point, that's not a that's exactly what it is. That's his. That's what the director is saying with this very obvious, metaphor here. It's that you know you're placing all this value and stuff, and it's driving you mad, and it's getting you all killed, which is obviously the exaggeration. But look, when you love art for what it is, and you make it a price that everyone can enjoy it, everyone lives and survives. Like that's the thing. This is such an obvious, simple story, and it just didn't warrant this movie to tell that.
No,
it wasn't as interesting as he thought,
and that's how it ends.
Yeah,
we barely talked about this movie,
but that's good. See, look, we're in an hour. We got. I'm telling you, I watch this and I go, I need to come up with three like game show segments to quiz you guys on stuff because I don't know how we talk about it.
Thank God, I was able to pad with Zoe Saldana.
Yes,
hat tip.
Yeah, so it's.
Which, by the way, do not Google that.
Padding
was Zoe Saldana,
or do.
Yeah,
Paul, you're looking a little bit like Zoe Saldana today. Yeah,
thank you.
Maybe use an incognito browser.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. Yeah.
Not at work.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a mess. Go watch Polar.
Yeah, Polar was way more
Polar
fun than this.
Polar was way more fun than this.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen to that. Yeah, watch it and then listen to our episode on Patreon.
Yeah, it was good stuff. There's
was
something
that
else.
Organic, Tom?
Yes.
Okay.
What's the, they've got something else coming out, don't they? Netflix?
I
think so.
They have the Ted Bundy docuseries.
No, there's the one you posted about.
Oh, Resident Evil?
No.
Well, that's going to come out. What? It's Hannah on Amazon?
Oh, forget it.
I don't. I posted about a lot of stuff.
You posted on Twitter like 3 hours ago.
About Hannah.
Is that what it
was? So Hannah with Saoirse Ronan and Eric Bana is an amazing movie, one of Saoirse Ronan's early movies. It's so good if you haven't seen it. But Amazon in March is coming out with the Hannah series based on that movie. But today, after the big game, they are premiering the first episode.
You're allowed to say Super Bowl.
Oh, I am?
Okay. Yes.
Well, I'm doing that because that's how they advertise it. That's
the only people who die are those who use Super Bowl and exploit it for monetary purposes.
No,
you're selling it on the fence for $5.
Yeah, but literally on Amazon, they say after the big game. Yeah. Yeah, so I just
because that's because the NFL will go after them,
right.
Which is funny because Amazon has a deal with the NFL for Thursday Night Football.
Oh,
so they're a partner.
So
why
they
can't
be able
say
to say
Super Bowl?
Yeah, oh, because they're like we are playing it. Like we know how lawyers work, and plus they know how greedy these networks and everybody are. So they're like they're going to try to get every penny they can from us.
That was the Major League Baseball's big mistake.
Yeah,
they didn't do that with World Series. So anybody can have like a World Series party or
World Series of poker.
Yeah,
it was funny. So I'm not a sports guy. It's surprising. I'm as some other people at this table aren't. But I was like this week, Friday, I think I'm like the Super Bowl's this weekend. Like I just realized it. And then yesterday I thought, okay, the podcast tomorrow. I go, oh, is it going to be on normal schedule? Cause it's the Super Bowl. And I'm like, oh yeah. Can we do extra podcasts?
Yeah.
Like I could care less.
Like who else is on the show?
I could not care less. Like I'm just like, can we just, okay. Super Bowl Sunday.
And now they've robbed you of the joy. See the internet again.
Right.
It's robbed you of the joy. Like it used to be, you watch the game for the commercials. Now they're all on YouTube. Like a week beforehand.
Exactly.
That was the only reason I ever watched
it. So I'm like, now I at least watch for the commercials. I'm like, it's not 1996. Like,
no, you're a sports guy. I'm saying I only watch for the commercials.
I'm a sports guy. Yeah. I'm not a football guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a hockey baseball guy.
Since this is going to come out after the big game, can I just say, wasn't that one commercial great?
It was. Not as good as the other one, though.
I can't believe they paid $5 million for that commercial.
No, though. I agree.
That.
I like the good old days when there was always the one for Master Lock.
Yeah.
That was
there
like,
was a $5 million. They did a Master Lock commercial?
That was their entire ad budget
for the whole year.
They would buy one commercial in the Super Bowl, and it was always the same commercial. They might make a new version of it, but it was always somebody shooting the lock with a rifle.
That's right.
It was and I forgot about that. Was their only commercial for the entire year.
Stood up to the rifle every time. Like it was just like,
well, it would be a silly for them to buy the commercial.
But I mean,
if
that's
it
the point of the commercial.
There,
so
they broke the lock.
Son of a bitch.
But I mean,
$5 million.
No, I mean, I've never seen. I mean, that's the whole point of the commercial. Yeah. Is that let's shoot a doorknob with a rifle.
Well, it was like a padlock, not a key lock, but a hanging one.
Can I ask you this though? Seriously, I mean, I've questioned this about coal commercials, and I guess their tax write offs or whatever, like things that nobody is really going to buy because there's a commercial for them. Like Master Lock, I go for my locker when I'm in high school or middle school. You go buy your kid's lock or whatever. You're going to go and you're going to probably buy whatever
you're
going to
buy Master Lock
for $5.99.
Nobody
else. That's basically
you've got
Walgreens off brand or Master Lock.
I don't need a $40 lock to protect the $15 worth of stuff in his locker.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, so really.
That he's probably going to lose anyway.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying. So it's like some commercials, you really have to wonder, like, what the hell is the point? No one's going to. Are you really going to change your mind?
Archer Daniels Midland. But
there was one. I was up on a Sunday morning and I was again flicking around on TV and I went past again some cable channel with a public affairs show on it.
Yeah.
And they took a commercial break and there was a commercial for a company that makes locomotives.
Oh my
what?
God.
Yeah, like what?
And I thought, there's a real impulse buy. Honey, get Amazon open.
I remember it. I guess it would have been 2000. So the year the Rams won the Super Bowl, when the Rams were still in St. Louis.
Oh.
But like every commercial was a .com commercial. Like,
sure.
It was
GoDaddy. Remember GoDaddy? Every big
pets,
commercial.
Pets.com.
Pets.com with the sock puppet.
Yeah.
And Danica Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, like I remember I was in a marketing class. And the teacher was just like, so what was the big takeaway? And I was like, the stupid .com commercials. He's like, yeah, that's what.
And now it's like no one needs a commercial for that.
No.
Everyone knows when you need to go buy a domain.
Well, it's also like
name.
There's nobody. There's
none are left, first of all. Try to buy a domain name right now. It's like everyone's ruined that for anyone.
But yeah, I was just
But that's my name. Nope, someone's got it.
Sorry, not yours.
Yeah.
I got to pay $50 million to get my stupid name back.
Well, I guess that's it for this one.
Sorry.
Let's
go.
That's okay.
No,
let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
I'm Paul. I'm on harrisonline.com and the Kevin Brackett Design Harris Challenge.com for your daily trivia, new every weekday.
That was very organic.
Thank
you. I would like Jake Gyllenhaal to rate my website work really pretentiously.
I think after this movie, you might not want him to.
Oh, that's true. But if you use Paul's website, the questions will not come out and kill you.
That's correct.
Guaranteed.
And it's been approved by Zoe Saldana.
Look at you.
Both of her.
Asterisk, not actually approved by Zoe Saldana.
Yeah, right. This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Also, don't forget that we have a Patreon account, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, a very special episode where we will do, once again, we will return to the world of deep fried tacos. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Walter steals Margaret's credit.
Mademoiselle, you and me, pal. Second bottle, ah, she looks for me. Bonnet flapping, yapping, roof, chicken, pastry. Yes, she looks for me. Good. Let her look for me to tell me why she left me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.